Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keith.
But I remember Jumbo would call me in the afternoon. He's like, hey, so you want to come over and eat Pop-Tarts and play video games? I'm like, Jumbo, this is a National Hockey League.
This is Gresh and Keith.
Pitch to Alvarez. Trouble. It hits on the track and rolls into the corner. Two-run score.
Obviously didn't get it done, but left my nuts out there on that mound tonight.
And the Astros win game five of this ALCS. Take a 3-2 lead. 9-1 the final.
Andy Gresh.
Philadelphia!
A thrilling, exhilarating game, and certainly a deflating loss for the Celtics.
Rich Keith.
I would urge Celtics fans to be patient with Brown if he gets off to a slow start.
42 points on opening night for Jaylen Brown.
Gresh and Keith starts right now.
Magnum Dong.
Yes!
On WEEI.
Yeah, the Magnum Dong did not go Boston's way last night.
It did not.
In fact, bad job out of us from this perspective. We were positioning the Boston parlay to everyone that if you wanted to pile up the Celtics and the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Revs and throw in some Patriots as well.
I felt good about all of them.
We should have gone dark side Boston parlay because right. That actually would have won some people some money last night.
We don't act that way.
We are glass half full, but the bizarro Boston parlay, if you put the Revs to the side, because congrats to them, they won again. But the other three teams all lost, including a double overtime
game. We will get to that because we could have helped some people make some money yesterday. We were honks and homers. Yeah. Well, there were no homers last night for the Red Sox.
What are you talking about? They had one meaningless
ding-dong in a 9-1 loss. And it's deflating in part. Because Chris Sale was not the problem yesterday.
So Chris Sale wasn't, but he was a part of the problem. Here's what I've come to realize.
Okay.
Alex Cora has a blind spot when it comes to Chris Sale. He screwed up Chris Sale not once, but twice in the series. Chris Sale should not have started game one. He shouldn't have. He went 2 2/3, and people are trying to tell me, but he kept him in the game. All right. He had a lot of run. 2 2/3 for a starter. And then this game, they got greedy. He should have been done after five, like Nick Pivetta the game before. If you and I both said, you know what, fine, kind of cut your, you got the best you could get out of Pivetta.
Yep.
You got the best you could have gotten out of Chris Sale. And then as that inning went on, Cora just made it worse. You don't pitch to Alvarez with a guy in second and third. What did he do the previous two at-bats? Smacking the snot out of it off of Chris Sale. Alex Cora screwed that game up.
Well, Cora said it was the lefty, so that's why he allowed him to come out for the sixth inning.
Did you see the first two at-bats to Alvarez? I don't care if he's lefty, righty, ambidextrous. Doesn't matter.
This is also some of the mind-numbing schlock with baseball as well.
It is.
Because it was, we don't let guys go through the order a third time. That's exactly what Alex Cora did last night.
Right.
And you're right. Maybe there is a bit of a blind spot there for Chris Sale. So,
big time.
Which philosophy are we following here? Is it because look, if you wanted to bring in another lefty, they could have gone to Taylor there if they wanted to and gotten Sale out after what was five innings of, yes, you were a little nervous in watching him pitch,
but when he got
through five, you get him the hell out of there. I'm with you on that.
We have changed our expectations for a starting pitcher in baseball in 2021. Five innings was a win. And to me, you knew immediately that it was a mistake. He goes out for the sixth, walks Jose Altuve, walks the leadoff hitter in a massive important inning. You're down by one.
Yep.
Right. So it's not like you're winning. It's not like you lost the gave up the lead. It was already 1-0. But you walk the leadoff batter. Then you have the, here's a surprise, Gresh, the fielding coming back to haunt him with the Schwarber play. And I love Schwarber. Again, he's not a first baseman. So you have that all happen. And then you have runners on second and third with a guy coming to the plate that, yes, I am aware that he is a left-handed batter. But he also went ya-ya ding-dong and wall ball. Last night, the advantage was Alvarez over Sale. It wasn't, he's a lefty, so let's just keep the lefty in. And it's Chris Sale now into the sixth. The reason I was told he started game one was because the bullpen was ready to go and you could get him out of there at any time.
That's right.
Now, you pitch him an extra inning, or at least you tried to pitch him an extra inning. He had to come out after he gave up two more runs, and in comes Brazier. And then Brazier just lit a match to himself, poured gasoline on himself on the mound.
Yes!
Yeah, that was bad, but again, I understand. It's the second day in a row where the runs that the Red Sox did not score was the big issue.
That's very true.
But there's another layer, right? There's the Laz Diaz will always be a factor in game four.
Yep.
And to me, Cora's decision to keep sailing in the sixth and then double down on it and let him pitch to Alvarez. Those were two massive mistakes by Alex Cora.
Once what you're about to hear happened, Sale should have been out of there. And that was, you mentioned it, the Schwaba error.
Sale delivers up. To be goes. A ground ball hit weakly toward the charging third baseman. Devers has it. Throws the first out. Here goes Altuve to third. And he's going to make it. Close play there.
Schwaba dropped it.
They called him up, but he dropped the ball. So now first and third, nobody out.
Pretty routine play on the whole there that Schwarber ends up having the error, and then it all came crumbling down thereafter.
So it should have been runner on third with an out, right?
So there's also the rumblings out there. There's apparently some whistling going on.
Fastball. Fastball.
Right. I mean,
are they cheating again? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. But you know what? The Red Sox didn't hit worth a damn last night.
Right. No, they didn't.
Framber Valdez.
He's like trying to win free furniture for somebody out there.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I was throwing a gem.
Eight innings, three hits, and a run.
Eight innings.
Three hits. Three GD hits.
That's like throwing 13 innings back in 1990.
Like
this
guy. Hell, 2013. That's like Jack Morris, for God's sake.
That was tough to watch. And you see him come out there, and you're like, wait a minute, he has like 50 pitches? He had like 60 pitches? Like, he was just up, three up, three down, mowing him down. Runner would get on, he'd work out of it, but he was dialed in.
How dialed in was Framber Valdez last night? In all of the visiting starters in the playoffs who have visited Fenway Park, there have only been seven pitchers to do, including Framber Valdez, to do what he did last night, which is eight or more innings pitched and one run or fewer for a visiting pitcher in Fenway Park in the postseason. Now listen to this list.
Is there a couple Hall of Famers, I believe, on this list? I haven't seen it.
It is Framber Valdez in 98 ALDS Game 3, the immortal Charles Nagy.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Eight
Indian
innings,
series.
One run.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
1990 ALCS Game 1, Dave Stewart.
Oh, I was going to guess Bob Welch.
86 ALCS Game 1, Mike Witt.
Mike Witt had a gem that day.
67 World Series Game 1, Bob Gibson.
Bob, yeah.
There's your Hall of Famer.
Come on, yeah.
The 1918 World Series Game 5, Hippo Vaughn came in and spun a gem.
And think about that. They overcame the Hippo Vaughn start to win the World Series that year.
They did.
That was a huge World Series win for them.
Because you know it's
because Hippo stole the momentum.
Moe's grandfather came in and did that. And then in 1912 World Series Game 3, real name, Rube Marquardt. I mean,
the names back then are so good.
So awesome.
They got to bring those back.
But Framber Valdez is in the
crazy
is in the history books with Rube Marquardt, Bob Gibson, and Dave Marquardt. Stewart of coming in and shutting down the Red Sox offense. And to me, that's the deflating part of it. Because look, if you lost 9-6 and you put up a representative effort and you couldn't get it done, that's one thing. The maddening part of the last two games is that the offense got shut down and that one pitcher shut them down last night. You and I have sat here and talked about how there's the sliding scale now of, I mean, if it's five innings, it's like 7 1/3 and you're throwing a parade for somebody. This guy almost went the distance and held you to three freaking hits.
Three
how
hits.
How does that happen?
Three hits in the game, and Devers had two of them.
That's right. Devers had two.
So everybody else went 0-for. I mean, Vasquez had a hit too, just to make that clear. But seven of your guys in your lineup went 0-for, and you only drew one walk. JD Martinez drew a walk. I mean, it was nothing at the plate. And I guess, is that the risk of when everybody's hot, everybody's then going to get cold?
I guess.
Because normally you have two guys that are hot, and then maybe they dip down, and then two guys that weren't pop up. But, I mean, Kike Hernandez, Kyle Schwarber, Bogart. Well, Bogart was good in game four. But in game five, not so much. Hunter Renfroe? Remember the last Hunter Renfroe hit? Because I don't.
I don't either.
All I remember Hunter Renfroe doing now is hitting into double plays.
Mm-hmm.
He hits into double plays all the time. And that is demoralizing. Because when they were able to get two runners on, right, they finally break up the perfect game. They get two runners on.
Yeah,
and
by the way, what was it? Into the fifth with a perfect game?
Yep, four. You went four perfect innings.
God almighty.
Fifth inning, you got runners on first and second. And you're like, all right, maybe we got something here. Because So Martinez also got hit by a pitch. So everybody went 0-for, like I was saying, but he reached base twice, so give him credit for that. But Devers singles, Martinez gets hit by a pitch. You're like, here we go. Something's cooking. Get the crowd into it. At that point, you're still only down 1-0. Go ahead, run on first base. Hunter Renfroe, double play.
And then whistle for a double play ball.
Yeah, they didn't whistle for him. And then Verdugo hit like a meek little grounder, and then the inning was over. And you're like, oh. That was so deflating because you're like, all right, we're apparently in store for a pitcher's duel. Sale Valdez is going to be a pitcher's duel. And then you get a couple of guys on, and then the threat went away immediately.
So not only did they not take advantage of the threat, then you compound that with the error from Schwarber, maybe leaving Sale in a little bit too long. And then, as we mentioned, the roof just kind of caves in after that.
That was the game. Bottom fifth, top six.
I agree. That was the whole game in a nutshell right there. I'm completely with you.
I mean, then it's 6-0, and you're like, what?
Right.
The way they were going, that might as well have been 26-0.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, right? Yeah. Didn't it? It was almost like, oh crap, they're not going to win. I mean, you can almost hear it with us today. And well, there was also a lot to watch last night. The Celtics went into double overtime.
Busy night.
And the Bruins had a just meltdown of a third period. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft about that coming up at 11:10 here with Gresham Keefe. But I guess the question surrounding the Red Sox at 617-779-7937 is it hopeless? Is it fait accompli that the Red Sox are, as Fourier would say, Dunsky?
They aren't. Believe it or not, I don't think that they are, because the Astros didn't all of a sudden get a bunch of great pitchers. They got a unbelievable performance from Valdez. But if you get into another bullpen game, you know who their starter is for tomorrow? TBD. Like, anytime they don't even really know what they're going to do, and it's probably going to be nine pitchers again, I'll take my chances against Eovaldi, even though I know the last time we saw him, he gave up some runs. He got screwed on a call, but he also gave up some runs. But I'll take my chance with Eovaldi. And it's almost perfect. This is encapsulating the season, isn't it? They were up, then they were down, then they were up again, then they got COVID, and they were down, then they were up, and you're like, I don't know what the hell to think of this team. Then they're barely winning games at the very end, and then they just go on this run. So even in series, losing these two the way they did, I don't know. If you bail on them now, I think it would be a little silly.
How fitting would it be for them to go there, win a game six, and then it's both teams, all hands on deck. Here we go.
You'll see all 13 pitchers in that game.
Absolutely. Evaldi's going to want to get back in there. Uh-huh. Chris Sale. Chris Sale already said, hey, man, if I can go game six or game seven, like, he wants the ball and wants to be in there.
And he probably will, and that helps him out a lot, too. Now, I don't know if Alvarez is the matchup you want anymore, but if it's Brantley or if it is Tucker, like, maybe you do that.
You're going to need him to probably get through another part of the left-handed portion of that lineup at some point. Again, that's where the Red Sox, you know, Martin Perez, you don't want him out there.
I don't.
In a big spot.
Saw him again last night,
but at least,
if you guys stayed tuned to the end.
But at least Sale gave
Martin
you...
Perez.
Right.
Hey, come on.
But Sale gave you a little hope.
He did.
That if you have to use him for a couple of batters, then you can do so.
Do you agree with me that Cora screwed it up last night, or are you okay with him?
No. He should have pulled him after five.
Yeah.
I thought after five innings, then you start going to the matchup game, because the score was what it was. It was close. And I understand his logic, and it's really more of a flaw of the way the roster is kind of built, in terms of, well, you want to leave him in there, even though you're dealing with Altuve, because there's two more lefties coming up, and you might not want to burn Taylor at that point coming out of the bullpen.
Right.
If you had another lefty that you felt like you could go to, maybe you could have managed that a little differently, or even leave Sale in and then bring in a different left-handed pitcher to change it up a little bit. But
I even feel like he had an opportunity to realize he made a mistake and then pull Sale. Have Sale intentionally walk Alvarez so the bases are loaded, and then you could bring in Ottavino to face Correa. Last time he faced him, he punched him out looking.
Right.
I mean, you can bring in a righty to face Correa. Who knows? Maybe you get a double play or whatever. You just set yourself up in a better spot than letting the guy who was the hottest hitter in that game face Sale for a third time.
You nailed it. Is there a blind spot there for Alex Cora when it comes to Chris Sale? And maybe that's a part of the discussion that we're going to get into with you at 617-779-7937. So Chris Sale, not bad last night. Offense, very bad. Framber Valdez. Of all the Valdezes in baseball, yeah, Framber's the one that shut down the Red Sox.
He was incredible.
For 8 innings last night. And Alex Cora loses 2 postseason games in a row for the first time in his career. It was bound to happen.
It was bound to happen. And now he's going to have to win 2 in a row to get to the World Series. So, I mean, they're in a tough spot. It's just the last 2 games, we can question the decisions, and I'm still mad about the Cora decision. But you scored 1 run, so right. Would the outcome have really been any different?
No. Right,
maybe it's 1. Maybe you lose 1-0. Maybe you lose 2-0. Maybe you lose 3-1. I should say. Again, you're not going to beat an Astros team scoring 1 run.
And I think the hard thing to contextualize is how do you go from raking and hitting Magnum Dongs to not being able to put anything together offensively?
Magnum Dong
for 2 nights in a row.
Did not call that last night. He didn't have an opportunity to. Yeah, I don't get, like, one guy, like, Kike Hernandez, I can understand being really, really streaky because, again, he's like a 240 career hitter.
Yep.
So he goes on a 7-game run where you can't get the guy out. That's going to come crashing down. But it's some of those other guys that are consistently good that you would expect a little bit more. Like, I think Kyle Schwarber in this series might be one of the guys that I'm most surprised by his struggles. You almost kind of relied on Schwarber to get on base a ton, and that he hasn't.
You know, now we're going to sort of a different dimension when it comes to the cheating stuff. We have a texter that says, really, guys, nothing about Valdez loading up the ball? Come on. That's the one thing they're checking for. That's the one thing that you can't do. Well, every time they come off the mound, they're dropping trout. So you have not only that, you have 6 umpires who have the ability at any point in time to end up with one of those baseballs in their hand. They're checking every pitcher. I think that they're checking them when they come in. They're checking them when they're going off the field. I can't take that at face value unless this guy is some kind of wizard or he's just
not rolling it out,
slapping KY jelly on there that they can't. I mean, in terms of the spider tack, they're checking these guys after every half inning. So if Framber Valdez found a way to pitch the way he did, and he's putting snot on the ball or goop or whatever, then God bless him, because that's something they're actually checking for versus trying to Zapruder in here if someone's going, hey, or, yo.
There was some whistling going on.
Yo,
well, let me ask you.
Whatever, in the stands.
Do they just check the glove and the hat? Because I know what people were saying about Valdez was he was going to his temple a little bit.
Hat. It's hat, glove, and I do believe the belt buckle. You always see the guys go over to the umps.
Right.
And then, so this guy.
That one's tougher to get away with.
So if he had it on his temple, he's gonna look at an ump. Now,
he's like looking at him like this.
Right.
What's
he
my
turning
neck?
His yeah. head just left all the time? Be like, my neck, my back. Yeah, he's like smoky.
I'm not ruling out the whistling for fastballs. This one is probably less believable because of the rules.
I would agree.
Or just like the in-game checks.
And
like, I know there's
looking
rules
for
to stop the other thing.
And
but
I think if you're both teams, you've got to be very careful if you're going to do something like that. Because we know the stain it would have on Major League Baseball. And look, are there people putting stuff on the ball? Probably so.
But,
and maybe they figured out a new way to do it. But to think that because this guy catched touching his temple or his hair last night, even Laz Diaz would see that.
Now, do you think the Astros know that they can cheat against the Red Sox because Cora will not call him out?
Yeah,
on it?
I think that's
there's
a big,
gotta be something.
Yep,
on that,
I think
that.
That's a big part of it. There's no doubt. Now, if there's something that's obvious, Cora's got to point it out.
He's got to.
Has
or
to.
Like you have somebody call the league office, or you got to do something.
I totally
even
agree.
Even if you don't want to run out there and stop the game, maybe even in between games, we day off today. Maybe somebody so Cora doesn't have to be the guy that's running out onto the field and pointing at the other team. I know he doesn't want that.
Right.
But today, you're getting somebody's ear and say, listen, you got what's going on with all these whistles?
To your point, if there is a ton of video evidence out there, if there's a ton of stuff out there, then if you're the Red Sox, the reel is together and it's already sent to the league office. And to me, that's one where Heim Bloom has got to jump in. It's got to be the top dog. It's got to be the guy, the top of the organization outside of the owner, to go send that to the league and see how they respond to everything. Celtics did lose in double overtime last night in New York City. We will talk Celtics in the 11 o'clock hour. Bruins got smacked in Philly 6-3, a bad third period. Andrew Raycroft will talk about that with us at 11:10. We will start to turn the page into Patriots-Jets. I know some aren't feeling it maybe necessarily right now.
It's a big game.
But it is a very big game for the Patriots. We will talk about it with the playmaker, Michael Irvin, who will join us at 1:30. And is Deshaun Watson about to be traded into the AFC East? We will get to that with Ian Rappaport coming up at 10:45. Right now, we turn to, he's a star of stage and song and dance. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Scheim is ready to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Anything is Possible.
Anything is possible!
Crash and Keefe on EEI.
I had to leave everything out there. I told myself coming into this game I had a job to do and obviously didn't get it done, but I left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
Yes, you did, Chris Sale.
Gross.
Yes, you did. Well, wow, I'm sure
kids watching this game.
Pine nuts, peanuts, packing nuts.
Macadamia nuts.
Too expensive.
Yeah, all right. A lot of nuts are cashews and like pistachio nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up there?
The macadamia nuts
Yeah.
We went to Hawaii in late 2014, I think it was. And
they got macadamia nuts there? That's a big thing?
It's good Lord. Mm. And everything is expensive there anyway, right. But... yes, the nut category. I'm sure a part of a Scheim charcuterie board.
Oh, yeah. You
somewhere
could
along
mix in
the
some
way.
Nuts.
Mix
yeah.
in some
good protein.
Beef, cheese, and nuts. Chris Scheim, ladies and gentlemen.
Three of the best.
I love it all.
The Chris Scheim story.
Beef, cheese, and nuts.
No, but Sale, again, Sale was good. Now, he got out-dueled by Valdez, but whatever. Sale was good, but then Cora screwed up, in my opinion, and therefore it wasn't five innings, one run. It was five and a third, four. Yep. Now, I know two were earned, but still, you don't care when you're looking up at the scoreboard if it was earned or unearned. Like, when he left, then Brazier obviously didn't do him any favors either. And then the next thing you know, it's six runs. And I think it was just completely mismanaged by Cora.
I'm with you, because what strategy matters? Third time around the lineup?
Right.
Or are we matching lefty and lefty again and all that? And again, Sale had plenty of pitches in the tank. If you're looking at 90 to 100 as the number to be able to get to, that he technically had still more in his arm. But we also know it's Chris Sale. And you said something earlier that I know we're about to get into at 617-779-7937, and that is this team about to tease us one more time? Because you kind of nailed it. With the roller coaster ride they've taken us on this year, how fitting would it be?
Really would be.
That it's like extra innings, game seven on the road, and it's... Yeah. Insert name, that's Martin Perez pitching the 13th inning on the road trying to win it.
I mean, we've even seen in this series where it felt like the Red Sox were in control. They weren't that, what were they, six outs away from being up 3-1 in the series, mm-hmm. something like that. And now it feels like the Astros are controlling the series. But if the Red Sox just win game six, even the Astros would be like, oh, crap. Like, so we're riding pretty high, and now it's all coming down to one game, and who the hell knows who they're even going to pitch. How long that guy's going to last. Like, the pitcher, I still don't think you can overlook it. Like, Valdez, you sort of tip your cap to him, and he was their one really only chance of a performance like this.
Agreed.
Like, if you looked at what he did in the regular season, obviously losing Lance McCullers was huge for him, but Valdez, I guess, I certainly didn't think eight innings, one run, but he had that in him. The rest of the guys don't. Like, whoever starts game six and seven for Houston cannot do this.
3T up and running. You could watch us do this show. We know you can listen to it, 93.7 FM in Boston or 103.7 FM down in Providence and in Connecticut, Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and up in Maine. You could also get us at weei.com/watch anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Interact via Twitter at Gresh Keefe. Or text 37937. To the phones we go. Chris in South Carolina, first up with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Chris.
What's happening, guys?
Hey.
So one of my big issues with him is you're only down a run. You have Devers and Martinez, first and second, bottom five, no outs, and you have Renfro hitting 83 up. Why are they not bunting, having him bunt them over? With no outs, down one run. I don't get it.
So my guess on that one, Chris, is that Renfro can't bunt. Like, I know a major league player should be able to bunt. I'm with you on that. But I think some guys just don't really do it. That'd be my guess. And again, it's a stats thing too, Chris. It really is. It comes down to a nerd thing where the nerds would tell you don't waste an out with a bunt because Renfro could hit a home run. That's what it is.
And then he leaves him in and doesn't pinch hit for him. What was it in the – I think it was the eighth.
Seventh, and he hits into another double
seventh,
play.
Right?
Seventh.
Yep. Yeah. Because you're down 7-1 at that point. Yet, you know, two an inning, 7-8-9, and you don't hit for him. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Chris, you're not unless this is you hitting up our Twitter.
No, I heard this last night. I just think it comes down to Ken Renfro bunt. And I know, again, the obvious reaction would be, he's a major league player, he should be able to bunt. Some guys aren't comfortable doing it, and it's really kind of gone out of the game.
Right.
Unless you're a National League pitcher, you see a lot of bunting. And especially the stat-driven teams say, don't waste an out. Don't waste an out. This guy could sock a dinger. Like, we're better off with that. So, yeah, I think it's probably more of a Renfro comfortability thing. But that you could look at it and say it cost him. They had a runner on first and second, and you're like, all right, you got something cooking here, only down a run. And then next thing you know, there's two outs, guy on third. And it's not like Renfro's been swinging it. Like, to the caller's point, he walked up hitting 083, now he's hitting 071. He's been horrible in the series.
He's been horrible so far this postseason on the whole.
No, he
has. At FreshPicks3 on Twitter says, I'm not a small ball guy. Renfro absolutely has got to put a bunt down. First and second, no outs. Valdez pitching lights out. Renfro batting under 100 with a million grounded to double plays.
I mean, that part's fair.
Millions, but I think that's the – well, there are two differences in terms of the way the strategy works. One is Cora already did it in a big spot where they had a runner on first, and we know what happened against Tampa. So it's not the philosophy that I think he is beholden to. But to the point, can you have Renfro do that? Because what would be worse? Taking the bat out of his hands and him laying down some kind of half-ass bunt where the runner gets gunned down at third, then you still got first and second. Then it's first and second, one out.
Right, and then we're screaming, why did Cora have him bunt? Because this guy doesn't know how to bunt, and he sucks. But
the situation is, I don't think Alex Cora is against runner on first and second, nobody out, someone bunting to be able to move them over. Maybe if that's Kike Hernandez in that spot.
He, I think, has become the first player to ground into two or more double plays in multiple games in a series. I think this postseason he's hitting the five double plays. Like, he's killing them. He's absolutely killing them. And again, not that it was a big night of the offense, but that was the one chance they had. And maybe you get to Valdez before he settles down, because he had just given up his perfect game, a base hit, and then he hits a guy. And it was a terrible pitch. It almost looked like it bounced and hit Martinez. First and second for Renfro. And then next thing you know, boom, two down. Sucks. And I think you can't overlook how much the stats and what the computers tell these guys.
Yep.
That's a big factor. And I think it also played a role in Cora letting Sale pitch to Alvarez. Because you're like, well, look at Alvarez's numbers against lefties. Look at Sale's numbers against lefties. This is the matchup you want. And they ignore the two previous at-bats. Because they're like, well, small sample. Whereas I think the has-a-feel-for-the-game manager would say, this guy just looks locked in against him today. Maybe over the course of 162, you would want Sale against Alvarez every time. But in that game, he already had a homer and a wall ball. I'm not pitching to him there.
The Red Sox are only the seventh team to lose back-to-back games by seven or more runs at home in the postseason. That's a gross stat,
that
right?
That is gross.
So it's the Red Sox of 2021, the Yankees of 2010.
Oh, nice.
And the Red Sox in 2008 had this happen to them as well. Ugh. There's a bunch of other teams, but it doesn't really matter.
No, that's pretty good.
Let's go to Joe in Saugus with Gresham Keefe. Hello, Joe.
Fellas, how's it going?
Good.
So, God, where did we start last night? You know, I know a lot of talk is going into pulling Sale prior to even the pitch to Alvarez.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. The play there, you got to walk. Got an intentional walk, load up the bases, and I'm fine. I think Sale had a lot of emotion. I think you leave him in. Correa's 0 for 2. You leave him in. You feed him some low sliders. Push for that double play. And honestly, I'm really disappointed and disgusted with Cora after that game. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah. if you're disgusted with Cora, why are you okay with them keeping Sale in? Because isn't that one of the biggest issues? Would have been taking him out?
Yes, but we go in, we load the bases. I mean, I think Phil has a lot of emotion behind him in that game, and I think that, you know, he can force a double play there on Correa. But like I said, I just...
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Joe, here's what it is, and why I think you feel disgusted. It's not so much the moves of Cora. It's the fact that this offense has gone dark.
Well, the offense has been brutal.
That's the part that I can't wrap my head around is... We know that managers are going to get either they're going to get trapped in the moment, or there's going to be whatever the Nerd Numbers Network tells you, there's going to be some sort of conflict in terms of what you feel and what you're going to do. But you didn't hit for two nights. I mean, it's really that simple. You ain't winning with one and two runs.
No, you're not.
Not in this postseason.
Not against this team.
617-779-7937. We will do some hockey with Andrew Raycroft at 11:10, but up next... Is the AFC East about to become a whole different place if the Miami Dolphins pull off a move by the trade deadline? We'll talk football with Ian Rappaport of NFL Network next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Let's get all the skinny of what's going on in the National Football League. 1048 here with Gresh and Keefe joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline. NFL insider for the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport. He is sponsored by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Good morning, Rap Sheet, and let's jump right into it. Rumblings of a Deshaun Watson trade? What do you know?
Well, there have been rumblings of a Deshaun Watson trade for quite a while, I would say. I mean, it has been a while. I remember during the summer, right before, I think it was a week before cutdown day, everyone was talking like a trade would happen, and then everyone kind of took a deep breath, and nothing happened, and we all kind of went on with our lives. So here's what I know of where it stands. They're having conversations. There have been several teams calling. The Dolphins obviously are one of the teams who have maintained interest. Nothing is done. Nothing is imminent. And it is unbelievably complicated. Like, it is unbelievably complicated. There's the legal issues. There's the civil issues. There's Watson's no trade clause. There's a team still trying to play football. And then there's the compensation. I mean, that's a lot of things. Not saying a trade can't happen. I'm just saying, from the people I've spoken with, it doesn't sound like it's quite so imminent. I mean, these trades could stop on a dime and anything could happen. But to me, it doesn't sound imminent.
What do you think, Ian, would hold it up more, what Houston is looking for in compensation or everything that's going on off the field?
Well, I think, you know, if you're a team acquiring Deshaun Watson, you have to have a firm handle on everything that's happening off the field. You have to obviously be comfortable with the person, which it seems the teams inquiring are. You have to have an understanding for what may happen civilly. You know, there's also the criminal matter. There's the grand jury. I would imagine, you know, the teams interested in Deshaun Watson would have to know that whatever is going to happen off the field would have to either be wrapped up or know that there's not going to be something to drastically alter whether or not he's available. And then the other thing is, if you trade for him, there also is obviously the possibility that he gets suspended. But if you're trading for him for this year, like, are you sure he's not going to get suspended this year? He may. He may not. That's why, like, there's so much uncertainty. There's far more things that are uncertain as opposed to things that are certain.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network with Gresh and Keefe. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. If it is the Dolphins, is it fait accompli that whomever, you know, that basically the Tua ends up in Houston if Watson ends up in Miami? Or does Tua even factor into this move if it is the Dolphins?
To my understanding, let's just say hypothetically it is the Dolphins. I would be surprised if he goes to Houston, for one. And I would also say I'm not so sure they've gone down that road. I know there was all these like reports yesterday of, honestly, all sorts of things. I didn't even read all of them, but it doesn't sound to me like the Dolphins have done any work at all about possibly trading Tua. Like, let's say you trade for Deshaun Watson. Well, he's not going to come in and play right away. There is also the possibility that he gets suspended. We'll see when that ends up happening, but it's possible. You might need a quarterback. And you look around the league, like, does anyone need Tua right now? Like, did any contender lose a quarterback and need one for the whole season? Like, doesn't seem so. So the Dolphins could even, if it is the Dolphins, they could even keep them and figure it out in the offseason.
If it's not the Dolphins, what other teams would be on the short list for Watson?
I mean, the teams that have, you know, sort of been rumored in the past, the Eagles, Carolina Panthers, you know, maybe the Broncos a little bit, but maybe not so much now. But those are the teams that have sort of been rumored. You know, these trades are so unbelievably complicated. you know, but those are the teams that have had some level of varying interest over the last couple months.
And you mentioned the Panthers in there. They obviously have Stephon Gilmore now, and he is off the PUP list. Yep. Is the expectation that he could play this weekend?
I think they think so. They think he'll come in and play some role. It's not obviously guaranteed, and I think, you know, him being able to do back-to-back practices and make sure that his knee/quad is healthy, you know, that would be a good thing. Like, if he's out there today and didn't have any residual soreness from yesterday or nothing that prevented him from practicing again, I think that would be a good sign you'll see him. What's interesting with Gilmore, and you guys know this, like, he hasn't practiced at all. He was not healthy, and then he wasn't allowed to practice because he was on the PUP list. And, you know, so I think the Panthers are you know, obviously happy with him and very glad they have him. But it might be a little bit until he looks like the Stephon Gilmore that we saw, which obviously teams were aware of because, as we know, like, the trade market was not very – it wasn't much of a trade market at all for Gilmore. So I think he'll play, but I think it'll be a while till it looks normal.
Ian, last thing for me. I know there's – everybody's got their possible trades that could happen, right? Somebody sending a 2031 seventh-round pick for N'Keal Harry, something like that. But as we get closer to the trade deadline – are you sensing that there are teams that are out there on the hunt for players, or has it not really picked up steam just yet?
I've definitely sensed a couple teams that are on the hunt for players. The problem is, you know, and we, you know, we've seen the Zach Ertz trade. I think that was one, you know, cross him off the list. I could delete him from my big whiteboard of possible trade targets, which was, you know, helpful for me. I think there, you know, there's plenty of players who are, I wouldn't say being shopped, but teams are open to dealing them. I just don't get the sense, unless I'm crazy, I don't get the sense that it's going to be that active because not a lot of teams have that much money. So, like, if you're going to trade for someone who you'd have to pay, say $3 million for the rest of the year, like, you might have to create cap space. You might have to do what the Colts did, which is restructure a player on a one-year deal, which, you know, that happens this year, but it has never happened in the past. So I don't get a sense it'll be that crazy because not everybody has a lot of money.
Back in the preseason, N'Keal Harry demanded a trade. He did not get traded. He's been playing poorly ever since.
That.
Is there any value at all? I can't imagine for N'Keal Harry.
You know, if there is value, it would be not a lot. It would be, you know, a pick swap or a late seventh or, you know, and I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there are some teams that need playmakers. I mean, I think one of the teams that was, you know, rumored for N'Keal Harry was the Lions. They could use, they don't have a lot of receivers at all. So could those kind of kickstart again? Maybe. I don't know. In my history, knowing Bill Belichick, when a player has asked for a trade or demanded a trade, sometimes it happens, but not always. Sometimes it's kind of like, yeah, no. Because, like, honestly, like, what are you getting anyway? It's not like, you know, if Belichick was getting a first rounder for N'Keal Harry, I think he would probably do it. But just to give him away and you know, acquiesce to the player for getting nothing in return, like, I'm not even sure he does that, honestly.
Ian Rappaport of NFL Network with us each and every Thursday, breaking it all down. Rap Sheet, thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, have a great week, guys. Take care.
Right, there thanks. We go. Yeah, if and I made the joke of a 2031 seventh rounder for N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
No, but he's right. It's going to be more pick swap. It's not even we're going to give you a pick. We'll just go down a couple picks. We'll give you our sixth for your seventh.
We're willing to trade down in the seventh round for you to take N'Keal Harry off of our hands. I don't know if they're quite to that point yet, but the point Rap Sheet did make is a good one, and that is, like, with Gilmore, it was a little different than when N'Keal Harry.
Correct.
Different kind of leverage there. Coming up, we're going to talk some Bruins with Andrew Raycroft at 11:10, but the Celtics opened their season last night against the Knicks. We'll touch on that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.